Nick Robinson, BBC News.
Read for us by Diana Speed.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
My audience is one person. You've got to get into their mind and lay eggs in a way, you know, somehow.
Damien Hirst is cast away.
I just want to put something in front of them that in a week's time, they'll still be talking about it with someone they met in the pub.
A portrait of the artist.
By the time I was 17, I was, you know, I totally thought I was Willem de Kooning or Mike Rothko or something. So I was throwing paint around and I couldn't be bothered with drawing. Got an E in my A-level art.
Yes, I didn't know whether to bring that up because I think it's quite a cheap shot.
I'm quite proud of that.
Are you? Okay.
I quite like that, yeah. I think getting an E is quite difficult. It's not an F.
The return of Desert Island Discs on Sunday morning at 11:15 on BBC Radio 4.
Now on BBC Radio 4, the lines are open for Down the Line, brought to you by the creators of The Fast Show.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Down the Line, the hard-hitting, deep-probing colonoscopy of a phone-in show where you, the great British public, have your say on the issues that matter. Like the death of the high street, and not only the death of the high street, the rural areas of Britain are in trouble too. So is anywhere in this great country doing well? And what's happened to British manufacturing? We used to be famous for making stuff, from the Industrial Revolution right through to Blue Peter. Now nobody makes anything. We just push vast sums of virtual money around and leave it to the Orientals. Check, Matt, that's not racist. We really are up the proverbial creek without the proverbial paddle. I mean, we used to be the foremost paddle manufacturer in the world. Now they're all made in China or India, probably. I don't know. Matt, can you check that out too, please, about the paddles? Can't be too careful these days. We might find it out there's Japan and they might try and sue us. Can you get sued by a country? Find that out too. So ring us if you're living in a living part of the country or dying in a dying part. On 0808 157 0000 or Twitter me at Gary Bellamy DTL. Because of global warming, we're being told that many foreign species are invading our shores, but is that necessarily a bad thing? David Attenborough's recent series on Africa was amazing. You know, I'd love to see some of those animals over here. Wouldn't it be great to look out the window and see a load of chimpanzees on the lawn? Or a hippo in the pond? Or a flamingo on the shed? I can't get that excited about British wildlife. And while we're on the subject of the collapse of the environment, which endangered species would you not really miss? Hello, I've got Julius Olifuenwe on the phone.
Oh, greetings, my friend.
Hi.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you once again. And now you're discussing the economic situation throughout the world, isn't it?
It's a bad time.
Now, in doing my studies, I don't know if I have explained to you, I have a diploma.
In hotel management, isn't it?
That's correct. I have a diploma, and part of it was studying the economic situation.
Yeah.
And there's a fellow, I don't know if you are familiar with the fellow by the name of John Maynard Keynes. Are you familiar with him?
Of course, I know who he is, but for the benefit of the people at home, if you could just explain who on earth he is.
John Maynard Keynes is a marvellous man. He was also a Baron of Cambridge, you need that.
Right, yeah.
And he proposed the theory of quantitative easing.
Yeah. If you could just explain what... of course, I know what that is, but for the listeners at home, if you could just explain what you mean by that, what it is exactly. That thing you just said.
Now, what is meaning of that is that if the economy is not active enough to see that the action of the marketplace is not as flourishing as it can be, then they can do that bit of quantitative easing. Then you find that...
89 pence for a red pepper.
The price of foodstuffs has gone to the roof.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you talk about what you were talking about just then, which made perfect sense, but to me... 89 pence for a pepper? Come on.
I couldn't agree with you more, but can I have a...
Do you want a bag for life? No, I can't take that responsibility.
You don't want a bag for life?
No, I don't want a bag for life. Look, I've come here to buy an 89 pence pepper. This is the economy. This is what we're talking about. Do you know what? I don't even need a bag.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. It's a wastage of resources, isn't it?
What's that?
I said it's wastage of resources.
A wastage of a sausage.
It's wasting the resources of the marketplace.
Oh, resources.
But I hope that the people who are listening can understand what I said to them earlier.
Sorry, man,
about the
Keynesian
theory. Our quantitative easing. Okay?
£1.99 for cotton wool buds.
Thank you so much.
I mean, can you believe it?
Thank you.
Okay, I've got the Pearly King on the phone. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello there, Pearly.
Oh, you're all right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Listen, I've got to say something here. We're the most beautiful wildlife in the whole world here.
So you think British wildlife is okay?
Well, our wildlife covers the whole spectrum. Quirky, colourful, majestic.
Well, all right, okay. Give me a quirky, a colourful and majestic then.
You put me on the spot, I'll go right back at you and I'll say quirky. What about a little hedgehog? Colourful, you've got the male newt when he's spawning. He's got that beautiful livery down his stomach, golden. Majestic, what's more majestic than the golden eagle?
Well, have you ever seen one?
What, a golden eagle? Soaring majestically over Lambeth. Someone take a pot shot. I tell you what, I've got a garden full of newts.
So you're a big fan of British wildlife?
It's beautiful. The pigeon, the stoat, the ferret, the horse. All of it. The badger. I mean, you only ever see him flattened out on the A30, but I mean, if you watch on the TV, they do come out of the night and they're lovely. And they're making their little noses up, don't they? Oh, black and white. They look like pearly kings.
maybe you're right. Maybe I was a bit harsh on British wildlife.
Hey!
Thanks very much for your call, pearly king. So, we're talking about wildlife and the decline of British industry and the high street. Who have we got next? Okay, Graham Downs, you're down the line. How are you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
Yes, I'm all right, thank you very much. And do you know what, Kevin? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of negative things talked about in this country, and especially, I'm not criticising you, I am, but there's a lot of negative things talked about in this country, and we don't make things and all that, but in a way, it is true, isn't it? That, things in the past that we used to make, we don't make them no more, do we?
Well, like what?
And I'm not going to blame the foreign boys for this, because I don't think it is them, but they're, nowadays, everything's virtual, wasn't it? But it's true in my case, definitely, that I don't make things now in the way like that I done when I was young, because, I don't know, but when I was 10 years old, Gavin, I'm 40 years old, because when the Falklands War was on, right, the sugar puffs that done models, right, that came in the packets, and you could do the whole reconstruction of the Falklands War, right? And I done all that week by week, and my bedspread was goose green, right, and I did the reenacted battles there, right, with the soldiers, and I also done the Belgrano, right, that came in week 7. And I've done that, and I sank it in the bath. And I tell you what, it wasn't steaming out of an exclusion zone. I don't mean to make fun of the war and all that, but anyway, I don't make things like that no more. But I did when I was 10. So
yeah. you don't get like kits, Afghanistan sort of tank kits with Rice Krispies, do you these days?
That crackle pop. That's more for the younger kids. I don't think they can really add like war on it. You know what I mean?
No, but then sugar puffs.
Maybe that is a change for the better, Gavin, that these days we don't celebrate war with the children's breakfast cereals. Snap, crackle, pop!
Okay, thank you, Graham. Food for thought there. Okay, I've got a call now from Emily in Colchester about which animals we wouldn't mind going extinct. Hello, Emily.
Would we really miss leopards? Masters of disguise. Can't see them.
No.
I've been to the Serengeti. You never see one. So, frankly, would you mind?
You don't see them because they're good at hiding
they're
never there?
They're very good at hiding and they're very rare. Yeah, hello. What's the point of that then?
So what you're saying is there's very few of them left anyway and you can't see them because they're hiding. So if they became extinct, who would know?
Well, people talk about all...
Bye, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Hi, you're through to Down the Line. Who's there? Hello.
Giles Smith here.
Hello, Charles.
Giles,
hello, Giles.
Hello. I'd like to ring in and talk to you about British industry.
Well, you've done it.
Basically, I'm a bit sick and tired of this. Everyone is saying we don't make anything anymore. There's no such thing as British manufacturing. It's a smear story to cover up the fact that we're actually doing pretty well over here.
So what do we make?
We make all kinds of stuff.
Like what?
Look at Jaguar. Look at Aston Martin. Look at Hornby. Look at Wall's Ices. Look at Kenneth Kennett's.
Who?
Big Bill's Belts. They're near me. They're good. Mm. Okay, we manufacture things on a smaller scale. Okay, factories have closed down. Okay, we're competing with big markets, the Asian market, the tiger economy, the rooster economy, the dragon economy, the penguin economy, all the animal economies. The
penguin economy?
They give them names, don't they? People love to give things names.
So what is that?
I look through my Thompson local and I see hundreds of British firms and they're all manufacturing things. You know, Jaguar, Aston Martin, Wall's Ices.
Yeah, they're not British.
What aren't?
They're all foreign-owned now. They were sold. We sold them.
Really?
Yes.
What, Jaguar?
Of course.
It sounds so British.
I know it sounds British, but it's been...
Aston Martin, I mean, that couldn't have anything that sounds more British than that.
All sold to foreigners.
All right, OK. Let's go in the retail sector.
Yes.
Harrods, Woolworths, Jessops.
Jessops and Woolworths don't exist anymore. They've been sold.
What? Woolworths and Jessops?
Yeah, gone.
They're
finished.
Not gone.
Down and dusted.
But Harrods is a British institution. It's right there, slap bang in the middle of the King's Road. And you go there and you see it and you go, yes, go on, Britain.
Excuse me, Harrods is owned by Hamad bin Jassim bin Jabba Al Thani.
Sounds like something out of Star Wars.
And it's nowhere near the King's Road. Can I just say
something? All right, HB, pencils. They're British. They must be. I've never been abroad and been given a pencil. You only get pencils in Britain. So they must be ours.
Well, I don't know.
Have you ever been given a pencil in France?
Well, I'm not sure I have.
You know, Gary, I just want to be positive about England, that's all.
Well, that's nice to hear you call, and we're all positive about England, and thanks very much for ringing up with your points. Thank you.
Maltesers, they're British. Oh. What about Henry Chimp's range of tools? Wellingtons. Barrett Mallard, Leyland Cobbler, Harriet Harman's Hankies.
OK, I've got Christopher Nibbs on the line. Hello, Christopher.
Yeah, Chris Nibbs.
You're ringing about wildlife.
Yes, they had that fella on earlier saying how great our English wildlife was. Mm. I'd just like to take issue with that. I think our English wildlife's a bunch of twazzocks.
Why is that, then?
It's thoroughly wet. What? We have the most ineffectual wildlife in the world. You know, it's mice, hares.
Okay, but listen, you are picking quite dull animals, I must confess. What about the badger?
I doubt you'll find any Maasai warrior down at his local travel agent trying to book a safari holiday to England.
Hang on.
To come and look at a bunch of dormice and maybe a sparrow.
But listen, right, you're saying all this because you live here and you're used to all these creatures. If you were a Maasai warrior and you saw a badger running at you, you wouldn't know what the hell to do.
Probably just quietly kick it to death.
No, you wouldn't because
our wildlife is wet. Any foreign animal looking for easy pickings, they'll come over here.
Well, hang on. I think our animals they have like a quiet, understated charm, don't you think? What about the cheeky urban fox? You know, fantastic Mr. Fox.
Well, it can't compare with a lion or a tiger or an elephant.
Shark. We have the basking shark, which is one of the largest.
Yeah, but the basking shark is the twazzock of sharks.
It's not the twazzock.
It doesn't even have any teeth.
I know, but it's the.
It's just like a giant underwater twazzock.
Thanks, Libby, you great big twazzock. Okay, we've got a packed show, so let's go to another call. Hello.
All right, Gary. Mitch Deaver.
What are you calling about today?
I had a hippo in my back garden in a pond.
Did you?
Yeah, a little hippo.
What, a pet?
Oh, you know, we called him Harry. Harry Hippo, right? And he was great when he was a baby. He was really cute. Mm. But he got massive, and it went on a rampage, smashed through the fence next door like it was matchwood, right? Yeah. They was having a barbie. Well, you know, very tragically, he's killed next door's gran. I mean, she was very old, but you don't want to be responsible for the death of a neighbour, even if it is by an out-of-control hippo. So stick to newts and don't get a hippo.
OK, Mitch, I won't. I'll just stick to bunnies or, I don't know, get a cat. OK, we've got a call now from Dave from Crawley. Hello, Dave.
Hi. I know you've been talking about animals that people would like to see extinct.
Yes.
But I think people got it back to front here. I mean, slugs and snails, you know, don't claim benefits, do they?
No.
You don't get cows rioting or, you know, snakes claiming expenses.
Yeah.
And I just think the only animal we could really do with getting rid of is mankind.
Do you know what? That's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
The world would be a better place.
Exactly. Imagine if it was just the animals on the planet.
Yeah.
Nobody claiming expenses or giving themselves bonuses from the banks or, you know, paying themselves massive salaries at the BBC out of the licence fee payers' money.
Yeah, well, hang on.
Everyone would be happier.
What would snakes claim expenses for?
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I just said they wouldn't claim expenses.
No, but if they did, what would they claim it for,
for example? They claim? They can't even talk.
Yes, I know, but they can still make...
That's my entire point. The snakes aren't claiming for anything.
Yeah, but there's no point in saying snakes don't claim expenses. Maybe there's nothing they can claim for in the first place. If they did, what would they claim for?
You are joking, aren't you, mate? Snakes can't claim for anything. Get real.
What about an owner of a snake who keeps one? Can he claim benefits for the snake?
I don't think I've got anything else to say to you, mate.
No, listen, you can't make accusations that snakes don't make claims.
Right, I'm hanging up now.
Thanks for that, Dave, but... Maybe you could call him with some ideas of what a steak might claim for. Yes, on 0808 157 0000 or Twitter me at Gary Bellamy DTL. OK, we're discussing wildlife and the collapse of good old GB. I mean, what about the Scots jumping ship? Should we oppose that? Or will it be good to get a shot of them? I don't know. Next, we've got a call from Louis from Lancaster. Hello, Louis. What are you calling about today?
Wildlife.
Lovely.
It seems to be getting a mixed press, really, but all in all, I'm sort of for it.
For it in general, in terms of either we have wildlife or we don't?
Oh, no, we should have wildlife. You see, I think the big difference between wildlife and humans is spite. They're not spiteful, are they? But there is one exception, the wasp. I mean, what are wasps for?
Well,
what do they do? Nothing. They don't make honey. No. I can just tell you a story to illustrate this.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I had two bags of shopping, and I was just walking down the road, and there was a dot in the sky. You know, it seemed to come right at me. It was a crowded street.
Yes.
And it just grabbed on to my wrist and stung me repeatedly for no reason.
A wasp. No reason.
And I just threw my shopping in the air. And as far as anyone else could see, there's, you know, I went, "You bastard! You..."
Oh, sorry.
I'm on. I mean, it's really difficult to talk about wasps without swearing, actually.
Well, I mean, you would have looked like you were fighting the Invisible Man.
No one helped me because there I was, just walking normally, and suddenly I just went mad.
He must have thought you were mental.
This is my theory. Just imagine being a wasp. And you see a crowded street, and clearly it looked at me and went, "Victim."
Hang on, what if he thought mate? He might have thought you were a female wasp and tried to mate you.
I don't think so. I don't look anything like a wasp.
So have you never been attacked by any other animal? It was just this one time you were attacked by this wasp?
I once had a herd of cows who looked threatening.
But they didn't actually attack you?
Well, I couldn't tell. I jumped over a hedge.
Yeah, I know what you're like. You know, cows do have that kind of stare, that dead stare in their eyes.
I'm more wildlife friendly than human friendly.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
You're listening to Down the Line with me, Gary Bellamy, on Radio 4. Call me on 0808 157 0000. OK, got a regular caller now. It's Early D.
Hey, niceness.
So, Early, you're ringing about Scottish independence.
Yeah. Like, listen, I've got to say one thing, yeah? I totally respect the Scotch in it. You know that?
Yeah.
But the only thing I think, right, if you give them their independence, right, and they go free. The next thing, what they're going to start doing, right? They're going to want to have their own atomic boom in it. They want to have their own nuclear disarmament and all them kind of thing there. Because, you know, Scots don't like English already, innit?
Well, not all of them, but...
Talk about, man. I know this, man. Scots hate English to blow well. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that's a fact. That's a fact, blood. Right?
So you think if they become independent, this hatred will grow even more, and you think they'll end up trying to invade us? Is that what you're saying?
They won't invade, blood. They will just boom us up, big atomic boom one time, innit?
Yeah.
So
Where will they get this atomic bomb from?
Them plotting already, Dread.
Are
because they have a Scotchman all over the hurt. All over the hurt, they got Scotchman.
Yeah.
Scotchman is one of the biggest travellers everywhere. I mean, Scotch of Antarctic, right? You know that
Scotch of the Antarctic wasn't Scottish.
What are you talking about, man?
He wasn't Scottish.
What are you talking about? Behave yourself, man. Have you read your history? Eh?
So, Early, can I just ask, why do you think the Scots hate us so much?
Well, because them smile and the ginger and them have to wear a skirt and it's freezing to blow up there, isn't it?
Well, thanks, Early. Thanks very much for your call. Actually, Matt, you better stick on the racist list to check. I mean, working at the BBC these days is a bloody minefield. OK, so we're talking about wildlife. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're down the line.
I'm calling about endangered species, but it's not me who wants to talk to you. There's somebody else here, and they'd like to make their point. Mm. This is Archie, and Archie is an Abyssinian.
Okay.
Meow, Gary. Meow. I've got a point to make about leopards.
Right, so you're pretending to be a cat, are you?
Good boy, Archie. No, Archie's just here on my lap.
Meow, Gary, meow.
Why are you doing this?
Meow, Gary, don't be cross with me.
I'm not being cross with you, I'm being cross with your owner. Why am I talking to a cat? Listen, what's your name?
Archie's mummy.
I'm not having this conversation anymore. Thank you very much for your call, both of you. Do you know, I hate people like that. I hate people who send cards from their dogs and from their two-year-old kids. Oh, thank you for the baby bonnet. I'm so happy with it. Lots of love. Well, listen, George, you're two. You can't write. It's your parents. And I hate parents like that. They really get on my nerves.
Okay, my next call is Oliver Trench, and you want to talk about mosquitoes, I see.
Yes, I don't know if it's in your remit, Gary.
Everything's in our remit. You're down the line. We talk about anything.
Well, I just wanted to tip my hat to Mr. Mosquito. I mean, they're a phenomenon, aren't they, the mosquitoes? I mean, we have no control or power over them, and they always get us in the end, don't they? You know, we go away each year, and we cover ourselves with oils and liniments, mosquito nets, little coils under the restaurant table. At night, we climb into bed, all tucked up tight, and here's Mr. Mosquito.
Yeah.
He's slow. He's so slow. Here he comes, past the lamp, over the paperback, towards the bed, licking inside the bed.
Yes, but...
Listen to me. The prong goes in, and they suck our blood.
Yeah, but...
They're like little Draculas, aren't they? Like Christopher Lee, or is it Peter Gershwin?
So what point are you making exactly?
I suppose I just want to say three cheers for Mr. Mosquito. Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Thanks for your call. Three cheers there for the biggest killer on the planet. Hello.
Hello, Gary. I have a question. It's slightly wildlife related. You know the meerkats on the telly?
Yes.
You know the advert for the meerkat?
Yes.
They say compare the meerkat, don't they?
That's right.
What are they actually advertising?
Well, it's compare the market.
I know about compare the market. That's a separate thing, right? Compare the market. People know about that. What I'm asking you is, were they advertising compare the meerkats? Because that advert's been on for years now. They spent bundles on it, and I'm none the wiser about what it's for.
Well, I think what they do is, if you wanted to buy something, you go to compare the market, yeah, and then you can find other things you can buy for cheaper.
I'm not interested in comparing the market. I'm saying, what? We've got to compare the meerkat.
Well, meerkat
spent
sounds...
a lot of money on that. And it just clicked me the other day. I thought, nobody knows what they actually advertise. It's meerkat.
Yes, but meerkat sounds like market. That's the clever thing they've done. Do you see how clever it is?
Yeah, but it's not the same. You see, compare the market, it's a completely different thing. And what I'm saying to you is, what are they doing with the meerkats?
Did you think that this was a whole website about actually comparing meerkats?
Well, that's what it is, isn't it? Every time you see the advert, it's going to compare the meerkats.
But why would anyone want to compare meerkats?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. It's a waste of money.
But it's very popular.
I love it. They're very cute. But I don't think they've realised they're actually not advertising anything.
Well, thanks very much for your call.
All right, thanks, Gary.
This is Radio 4, and I'm the award-winning Gary Bellamy. Next up, we've got Professor Lucien Hempsmith. Welcome to Down the Line. What are you calling about today?
Wasps.
Yep.
Wasps provide an enormously valuable service. They are the vulture of the insect world. They eat carrion.
Yes.
They remove a lot of dead insects, and also they lay their eggs in pests.
They lay their eggs in pests.
Most wasps are parasitic. And wasp larvae eats a huge number of pests, which otherwise would destroy most of our crops.
Yeah.
Wasps are a fantastically valuable species. Probably the most valuable species on the planet.
So are you saying...
If a wasp attacks you...
Yes.
You should take it as a blessing.
That's like when a bird does its business on your shoulder, they say, oh, that's good luck.
Yes.
Isn't that just a positive spin on a bad thing?
I think it's a philosophy we should apply to all parts of our life. If a car runs you over, treat it as a blessing.
It's a nice way of looking at life. Thanks very much for
your
call.
If somebody hits you with a cricket bat, see it as a blessing.
Yeah.
If your boyfriend shoots you on the toilet like a dog, treat it as a blessing.
Thanks very much for your call. We got more calls than we can handle tonight. Hello, who's there?
All right.
Welcome to Down the Line. What's your call about, sir?
My name's Morris. Do you remember me?
Yes, I remember all the calls.
And do you know what?
What?
Since then, things have gone from bad to worse, ain't it?
Yeah, in what way?
Well, in the country, man, everything has gone bad. The food is all full of horses. Even in the fish fingers, they're serving up seahorses, right? There's no work.
Oh, are you unemployed or are you working?
No, I'm unemployed, though, because thing is, right, where I've been getting jobs, they're closing down the place as soon as I get a job there. Like, I was working in Thornton's in Lewisham Centre, right, just serving up shockies to the backyard, right?
Yep.
They closed down the store. So then I got a job in Jessup's, right?
Yes.
Camera shop. That closed down. I didn't even bother going to HMV.
Do you think you're a kind of a curse?
No, mate. The curse is in the financial sector, which is spread across the world. The whole world is bust, isn't it? Japan has gone bust. China has gone bust. America has gone bust. It's boom and bust, and you know, it's just bust, double bust, 38 double D, mate. You can't even get a job you're ashamed of.
No.
You know what I mean? Like in the old days, people get a job at McDonald's. They hide up a uniform because if they got seen in there, people would laugh at them when they were in the club and thing. Now, right, you can't even get a job you don't want.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, right, Gary, you would not believe the different places I've been working. They've all closed down.
Yeah.
I got a job in Comet, closed down. I got a job in La Senza, the underwear store. I was working there, stock control, man.
But you loved that, working there.
Oh, mate, I was in a back, man, all kinds of underwear in there. And they get them big cardboard cutouts of the girl, right, in the underwear, and I was selling them to my friends. Mate, I was there for 10 days. They just closed it down.
Oh, where else did you work?
Blockbuster. Oh. I went to get a job. It was all over.
Yeah.
But I got another cardboard cutout of Sylvester Stallone with a gun pointing. So now I've got the gal, and I've got Sylvester Stallone, and a big one of the guy from Monsters, Inc. Big one.
Where else did you work?
And one place that I was really proud to work was the Royal Bank of Scotland, innit? My mum was like, if you get a job in there, you can stay there for life.
Oh, okay. And did you get a cutout from there?
Yeah, it's like a mortgage advisor in a suit, and he's sort of pointing at a form. Yeah, it's not my favourite one, but the other night, I tell you, I haven't told no one this, I got drunk and I tried to steal one of them giant ceramic chefs from outside a pizza place. Have you seen them? They're like life-size, like a man with a moustache and a white hat, and I've tried to steal it. The thing weighed a ton! I was trying to drag it off, mate. They come out. All the waiters had charging after me, so I just ran away.
Niceness, niceness.
Oh, Gary, wait, I've just seen on my Twitter feed that Jessop's has reopened. The geezer from Dragon's Den, the tall one, the giant. He's reopened it, so I'm going down there to try and get my job back. Bye.
Okay, bye. Right, you're listening to Down the Line. I'm Gary Bellamy. I'm great, and I'm talking to the great British public.
Do you know, like, animals, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget, right, them animals... It's Martin Owl here, by the way.
Hello, Martin. Yeah. Talking about animals.
Yeah. Don't forget, right, them animals carry diseases. You see them, right? They're disgusting. Most of them live, like, in muddy holes in the ground. Don't they?
What animals are you talking about?
All of them. Like
moles?
Badgers, foxes, moles, squirrels. Disgusting. You wouldn't live in a bit of muddy hole.
So you're saying we'd get rid of them, right? You're saying we won't miss them.
All of them ain't worth a light, are they? I blame Walt Disney. Badgers, cholera, hedgehogs give you bird flu. Birds, they carry swine flu. And pigs, well, they're all right because you can eat them. In fact, if you can eat them, kill them and eat them. And if you can't eat them, just kill them.
Martin, I'd love to see a badger in my garden.
I'll tell you what, if I saw a badger, I'd set my dog on it.
I don't think so. A badger will kill your dog. They're very fierce.
That ain't kill my dog, mate.
Now, what have you got then?
I've got a badger hound.
A what?
Badger hound.
Badger hound?
Half pit bull, half Rottweiler, half Ridgeback. He's a nutter, but he's really great with next door's kids.
See you later.
Ta-da.
Okay, it's been a great show. We got one last call, and it's from north of the border. I hope you're not going to nuke us.
Hello, Gary.
Hello.
I've been listening to you talking about British wildlife.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so it's British wildlife we're discussing, is it, Gary? British wildlife, yeah. Is it? British wildlife. Well, I think you'll find, as with everything else, the very best wildlife is Scottish. Hmm? The pine marten, the otter, the red squirrel, the osprey, the golden eagle. There are more seals per capita in Scotland. Not to mention the salmon, the roe deer, the capercaillie, the stag, the king of the mountain.
Yes.
Scottish, 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 Scottish. Not British, 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 British.
Okay, let's see, we've got time.
I haven't finished. British. British, 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 or a British.
That's all we've got time for. Good night.
Down the Line starred Rhys Thomas as Gary Bellamy with Amelia Bullmore, Simon Day, Felix Dexter, Charlie Higson, Lucy Montgomery and Paul Whitehouse. With special guests Dave Cummings, Lewis Vowes and Arabella Weir. Down the Line was produced by Charlie Higson and Paul Whitehouse at Down the Line Productions for BBC Radio 4. Comedy goes old school in a minute over on Radio 4 Extra with Hancock's Half Hour. And if retuning seems too much effort, stay where you are for the Archers.
Do you like to go to bed?
No.
Why not?
Because it's boring.
As the light grows dim and the darkness envelops,
Not everybody prepares to rest.
I have until 4 a.m. to get behind enemy lines.
The award-winning Wireless Nights returns to BBC Radio 4.
Join me, Jarvis Cocker, as I detect the more unusual undertakings of nocturnal folk.
I'd change my name sometimes so they can't find me again.
Wireless Nights with Jarvis Cocker, tomorrow after dark at 11.